Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, celebratory, because today is the day. Today is the day when we finally get the base back, 7 days a week access for the public out the back gate. Starting today, we've been kind of, you know, dipping our toe in and then going into the waist and, oh, you know, how that goes. And then swimming in it a little bit, a couple of weekends, and now finally the big news day is here. Joining us, we have Captain Terry Shashadi, call sign Village, a commanding officer of NAS Pensacola. Village, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing this fine
man,
day?
Man, I'm so excited. Years in the making. It barely even feels real yet. How does it feel to you?
You know, I would say the way I feel right now is excited. I've been up this morning. The team here, the security team and the first responders, fire, the whole team here is geared and ready to go for today. So we've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and we're happy to get there.
So base opens today, and as we've told people many times, the old rules are still the same rules. You know, if you're a felon, you can't go on the base. You can't take a gun on the base. You can't take drugs on the base. You can't take alcohol on the base. You can't take a cooler on the base. But please come with your ID and enjoy the facilities. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. So for the most part, it's going to look very similar to what occurred previously. So access is only via the west gate. So you know, we had a great conversation in partnership with the community, so the county. So they've helped us out by putting electronic signs both on the main gate side as well as the back gate. So that'll help direct people towards the west gate. But when you approach the west gate, just be aware that that intersection it may be a choke point. So please adhere to all traffic regulations as you're coming onto the installation. So we're going to allow people to come on base starting at 09. So be advised that, you know, that gate is going to be open for normal Department of Defense traffic, the people that work and live on this installation. So please try not to block that intersection, both for people coming on board as well as the community that lives out the back gate. But just like you ended up saying, you need to have an ID. And then one of the things that are a little bit different is you need to have a real ID, and a real ID has a star on the upper right. So Florida licenses have those. If you don't have a real ID, that's okay, but you will need to have two other forms of identification, whether it's a Social Security card, a birth certificate with a raised seal. So if you have two other forms of identification, you show that to the gate guards. And everybody over the age of 18 is required to have that to come on the installation.
How, because I'm glad you're saying that, because what I remember from before the terrorist attack is that driving on the base was, it was almost a pro forma exercise. You know, you kind of show your ID and you drive through. It wasn't quite drive through like gates wide open, for example, for the homecoming show, but it was not much stopping, not much inspection. It seems to me like we're at a higher, more rigorous level than that. Obviously, it's, you know, it's not full sweeping of the car every single time or anything like that, but would it be fair to say that people should expect that there's probably going to be backups, there's probably going to be delays because you are operating at a little bit higher level of security with the requirement for real ID for every adult in the car? Is that fair?
That is fair. I wouldn't necessarily call it a higher level of security, but over the last couple of years, the policies have changed somewhat. So this was an additional thing that has taken place since previous to the shooting. So long story short, yes, there might be delays. We have extra bodies to hopefully mitigate that, to get traffic through a little bit quicker. But this being the first in several years, as you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of lessons learned, and we're going to be working hard to make sure that we mitigate or minimize the inconvenience on those that are visiting, as well as the community outside when it comes down to traffic specifically.
And one of the big things that's just happening today is we have, this will be, unless I'm mistaken about this, this will be the first time that the public in over 3 years has been able to come on the base, other than for the homecoming show, to watch a Blue Angels practice, and it's an autograph signing episode in the atrium at the Naval Aviation Museum. So it's full on. There's the deep end. Go, big boy. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Again, we're excited. Today is a Blue Angels practice day, and it is a signing in the museum. So what we would ask is, as soon as you end up coming in, go straight to the museum. There's going to be a lot of people helping direct parking to get you into a spot and into the museum as quickly as possible, and then for everybody to end up enjoying. And just like you ended up saying, there are certain things that we ask you to do or not to do. No backpacks, no coolers, small personal bags or medical bags will be approved. They're subject to search, of course. But, come on in and enjoy everything that's going on there.
We're talking to Captain Terry Shashadi. He is the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Bill. Let's go to Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
We're not showing any slowdowns right now. It looks like everything's running smoothly. I-10, I-110, all the roads leading to the base so far, although certainly pack your patience for a little bit later as people make their way onto the base. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Terry Shashadi, Captain Commanding Officer at NAS Pensacola. I have to ask you this question only because it had kind of come up recently. I think maybe it was Mike Kohler who made the comment, and I apologize if it wasn't him, but we are all super relieved and super grateful and super excited. There are an awful lot of us who also look at what's happening today because we had tried, hey, let's turn the road into a public road. We had tried, hey, can we enclave it? We had thought of, all the different possible ways to create an access way to the museum and the lighthouse, and none of that in the end manifested. And now what we're doing is basically what we had always been doing before under a extended temporary waiver from the Navy. And I think a lot of people have the question, why didn't we do this a year ago? Why didn't we do this 2 years ago, at least post-COVID? Why did it take this long?
So, great question. The previous exception to policy, which is the formal term for this, that allowed us to end up using the back gate, because of what happened in the shooting, that exception was suspended, and then it expired, which means we had to go through the entire process once again to be able to get that exception to policy. So this allowed the opportunity to actually take a good look at all of the security measures or the mitigations that are in there, as well as other additional options or what we call COAs, courses of action, to try to figure out the best way to get public access. So unfortunately, ended up taking a little bit of time, a little bit more time than I wanted, of course, to be able to get there. But that's what ended up taking place over the last year since I've been in the seat. So as soon as I ended up taking over, this was one of the things we ended up getting really involved with to try to figure out how do we get the general public back on the installation to see those areas of public interest. So unfortunately, it did take a little bit of time. So now I will say this. This is it's a short-term solution. When I say short-term, maybe mid-term.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, go ahead. I was going to ask you that exact, where are we going from here? Go ahead.
Yep. So I don't know yet, right? So that's going to be the new fun when it comes down to public access, is trying to figure out what the permanent solution will be. And we're going to be breaking out everything that we've discussed before to try to figure out what the right permanent solution will be. So just like we ended up working on with this midterm or, short-term solution type of thing, we're going to get all the community stakeholders involved as well as my leadership to try to figure out what the right answer is for that permanent solution. So, we're not done here. We're just shifting the focus over to what's next.
Okay, so I'd summarize it this way. We are now basically back to where we were before the attack, but with a renewed emphasis and a vivid awareness of how everything we take for granted can go away, and therefore a renewed emphasis on finding a permanent solution that's not just what we're looking at now. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Absolutely. The one thing that I have under my authority here is if the security environment ends up changing, I'll do what is necessary to maintain the safety and security of the installation. So, but like I said, previously, I think what we have in place is the best thing that's available right now to make sure that we have people come on the installation and enjoy what we have to offer.
And I would just please encourage everybody who is visiting, just be on your best behavior. We just don't want to have anything that might jeopardize this now that we've got it back. A couple of quick questions that are coming in on text for you, Captain Shetty. One is, please ask Village when the checkpoint by the Navy Lodge will be open.
So they have until the basically the end of the year. It will definitely be finished before the Blue Angels homecoming air show that we're going to have on base again in November. So we have CBs actually working on that, and they've been working hard and doing an awesome job getting that up and running. So the timeline, the exact timeline, still to be determined. Do I think it's going to be done before November? Yes, because I think they're really doing a great job over there. But when it comes down to the actual date, I don't have that just yet.
Got it. Second question. Somebody says, can people with retired military ID cards enter the main gate and go through the checkpoint to go to the museum and the lighthouse, or do they need to go around to the back gate?
If they have a if they have DOD credentials, they can come in through the main gate and actually go go that way to go to the museum. So the answer to that question is yes.
They can go through the middle. Okay, good. And then a third person texts in and says, where do you want us to go in for cemetery access? West gate and then go through the checkpoint, or come in through the front and like we kind of do right now?
Great question, and thanks for asking that. So cemetery access will be through the main gate. So you'll come in, you'll let the gate guards know that you're interested in seeing your loved ones at the cemetery, and they'll direct you to the visitor control center to be able to get a pass or an escort.
Perfect. Great information. I really appreciate the people who ask the questions, because then we can get that answer out to people for whom it might be relevant. Well, Captain Terry Shashady, thank you as always for being available. Thank you for the diligent work that builds on the work that was done before you, you know, of course, by Lucky, by Captain Kinsella, and other people who have been working on this. I know it has taken an awful lot to get to this point, but I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, fully understanding how cheesy this is going to sound, it really does take a village.
You know, I'm giggling right now, because absolutely, this didn't take place without the hard work, not only within my staff. I mean, they shouldered the heavy lift on this when it comes down to, you know, requests for information from higher echelon, or communicating with the community and all the stakeholders here. But I would say that it most certainly took a village to get to where we are today. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. The you know, I'm going to be on the flight line. I'm going to try to get over to the museum to see everybody. It's going to be a good day. It's already turning out to be a gorgeous day. I spoke with you know, the boss of the Blue Angels last night. He's excited to be able to put on that practice today. So it's going to be a good time today, and we're looking forward.
They've got to be thrilled. I'm already getting made fun of by my listeners for that question. That's perfect. Captain Terry Shashady, call sign Village, commanding officer at NAS Pensacola. Sir, we are all excited to be back on the base. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we hope it goes well today, and we look forward to talking again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. You guys have a fine Navy day.
Yes, sir. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you love the way your lawn looked last summer, great. Do what you did last year. Do what you did last spring. You'll get what you got last summer. If you didn't like the way your lawn looked last summer, well, either A, do what you did last year and get the same result you got last year, or do something different now in order to get a different result then. That's why you call NSEC. Look, it's no charge to have them come look. They'll test. They'll do their stuff. They'll figure out what the 8 different applications, time, program, and targeted to your lawn would be, what the charge would be, and then you can decide at that point, yes or no. If you decide yes and you're a new annual customer, you get your first lawn application free with an average size yard. So, you know, very simple. Make an adult decision based on good information. Also, NSEC is hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Good pay, good benefits, 401k, health insurance. It's a career with job opportunities and growth, not just an employment. Apply at workwithNSEC, ENSEC.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many. Sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Nanu! Nanu!
Take this pink ribbon off my... Candy's actually wearing the morgue shirt today, so I
know.
Played that in her honor.
I'm wearing all black shirts with people on the front.
And we're both making our Vulcan symbol of peace, which is also...
Nanu, nanu.
Nanu, nanu. That's right. 727.
In your face, Orson.
That's right, man. Orson, calling Orson. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are fine. Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. There was an accident a lot earlier before the show started. Pine Forest and 9 Mile. It looks like that has been completely moved off to the side. Not showing any slowdowns right now. I mean, a little slow in Windhaven as it usually is eastbound. Not showing an accident. It looks like 90 is flowing fine. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The man convicted of running down and killing 8 people with a rental truck on a New York City bike path being sentenced today. Multiple life sentences possible for 35-year-old Saifolo Saipov for the 2017 attack that happened in Manhattan. A top Democrat says the meeting between President Biden and congressional leaders on the debt ceiling was productive. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told reporters yesterday that all parties agreed a default would be the worst case outcome. And the Village People apparently sending a cease and desist letter to former President Donald Trump over his use of their song Macho Man. Reports indicate the band sent that letter Monday in regard to a recent performance of the song at Mar-a-Lago. The letter claims a cover band performed the song was dressed like the Village People. They called it an unauthorized use of their likeness.
Good luck. I'll say good luck with that. David, thanks so much for the update. The airport runway lights still not fixed. They ran into trouble yesterday with the weather. It was terrible, in case you didn't notice. And so that impeded their efforts to fix all the electrical conduiting. So it's up to each individual airline how they want to operate. Some don't want to operate at all without the lights. You can operate in daylight is the idea. That's why flights from last night, some of them were delayed arrivals until this morning because of being able to land in the daylight conditions. So if you look at the board, you can see which flights are doing what things. But fingers crossed we'll get that all fixed up for today. Meanwhile, the Escambia County School Board last night fired the superintendent, surprisingly, and Tim Smith had very strident words about this.
Your divisiveness, I'm telling you, there's something bad that exists here. There's something toxic that exists here. You all want to fire me. I think the answer would be for the two of you to resign your positions, really. What's the difference? Is it you or me? Right? I guess you outnumbered me.
Well, they outnumbered him 3-2. He was talking to Paul Fetzko and Kevin Adams there. So we have no superintendent as of about 10 o'clock last night. So we'll see what comes next. Mayor Reeves joins us coming up.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A 12-week abortion ban in North Carolina takes effect July 1st. Republicans in the state legislature overriding Governor Roy Cooper's veto with no votes to spare. Federal appeals courts hearing arguments about the abortion drug mifepristone.
Also at issue is whether actions making the drug easier to obtain must be rolled back. It follows an April ruling by a Texas federal judge who ordered a hold on the federal approval of mifepristone, which was originally approved for use by the FDA almost 23 years ago.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. President Biden travels to Japan today for a G7 World Leaders Summit, saying he's confident a deal can be reached on raising the nation's debt limit.
However, I'm cutting my trip short. I'm postponing the Australia portion of the trip and my stop in Papua New Guinea in order to be back for the final negotiations.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 74 degrees. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he's proud to be supporting the legal defense of Daniel Penny. Now, that is the former Marine facing a manslaughter charge for the New York subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely.
When the dangerously insane Jordan Neely walked into Daniel's subway car, when he was making violent threats, Daniel bravely put himself in harm's way to subdue Jordan and to put him in a hold until the police arrived.
And Gaetz says on his Twitter account that he contributed to the Legal Defense Fund now on GoFundMe that's generated over $2 million in donations as of Monday. The city of Pensacola hoped they'd have those runway lights working by now, but yesterday's storms and a threat of lightning put that off for about another day at least. This now marks two straight nights for flight cancellations and delays after an underground electrical fire.
The infrastructure there at the airport is decades old, and if you've ever owned an old house or driven an old car, you know that over time electrical insulation can shrink and crack. These are 240 volt circuits, and so if when they arc, the temperatures get very high. That appears to be what happened.
Airport Deputy Director Ken Eibold there. He says making things even more complicated is the north and south runway has been closed for repairs, so there's currently only the one. Governor DeSantis says Florida's fighting back against human trafficking, which has seen, of course, a steady increase in cases recently.
What we've seen across the country, including here in Florida, is rates of human trafficking increasing. Last year, across the country, there was a 50% increase in arrests for human trafficking.
The new law will allow survivors to pursue civil lawsuits against their traffickers, as well as adult entertainment businesses that exploit victims. In addition, police and kids will be taking part in educational programs. A Pinellas County man being accused of stealing some rare animals. St. Petersburg police arrested Joshua McCarty Thomas yesterday for allegedly stealing two Galapagos tortoises. The FWC says they were stolen in November from the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park. Those tortoises are an endangered species, but McCarty Thomas allegedly kept them at his home. Police say one was alive in his backyard, the other had died and was being kept in his freezer. The 46-year-old also accused of stealing rare books from a couple of stores in St. Petersburg as well. Florida helping Texas defend the border. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday he's sending over 1,100 assets and resources to the state. That includes 100 FHP troopers, 200 FDLE officers, 20 FWC officers, and 800 Florida National Guardsmen. And the city of Pensacola climbing the rankings for the U.S. News & World Report's annual Best Places to Live list. That's good news for us. After ranking 44th last year, Pensacola jumped up 16 spots to land at number 28 this year. Pensacola, one of 14 cities in the state to rank in the country's top 150. 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3. Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
It looks like everything's running smoothly. 90 is not showing any delays. And again, keep in mind, the back gate of the base is open. So just prepare for a slowdown. And I imagine a lot of employees using the front gate of the base. And I'm not showing any slowdowns there either. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, by all means, of course, text it in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms today, starting in the afternoon, lasting into the evening hours. 60% chance of rain with a high near 86. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Thursday, 30% chance of a stray afternoon shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 84. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Small rain chance for Friday afternoon with a high near 84. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we're seeing some clouds moving over right now. It's 74 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. A court has ruled Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes can't stay out of prison pending her appeal. The court said Holmes' appeal doesn't raise a substantial question of law, and that even if it did, it's unlikely that it would be enough to overturn her fraud conviction. The disgraced founder of blood testing startup Theranos was convicted of wire fraud last January. She was sentenced to more than 11 years in prison. A new prison reporting date has not yet been set. Disney has asked a Florida court to dismiss a lawsuit by the Board of Supervisors that Governor Ron DeSantis had handpicked to oversee Disney World's operations. The court filing argues the lawsuit was rendered moot after DeSantis signed a bill that voided Disney's development deals, which are now at the center of a long-running conflict between Disney and the Republican governor. Disney argued that by signing the legislation, DeSantis essentially carried out the same action that the board is asking the court to take. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. That's Your Money Now.
There's something new at Peak Boar Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Peak Boar Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Prices for DAC, tax title, and associated dealer fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
When it comes to Medicare-related plans, one size does not fit all. From plans that help cover out-of-pocket costs to comprehensive plans that include additional benefits and features, you're sure to find an option that fits your healthcare needs and your budget. Tune in tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear Ricky Stewart discuss how she can help you make the right insurance choice. That's tomorrow at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves of Pensacola always joins us on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be there.
Always good to have you. Let's start with the problems first, because I know there's a lot of people that are anxious about this. The airport, as I understand it, we are still not with lights because the work could not be done yesterday because Ken Eibold said that the weather interfered with them being able to get in there, which is very understandable. So we are still where we have been both Monday afternoon and then, or Monday morning and Tuesday morning, which is hoping, fingers crossed, that we can get the lights back on today, therefore resume normal operations on the one runway tonight. Is that right?
That's correct. And as we mentioned yesterday, the contractors that were actually currently working on the scheduled north-south repairs have been pulled off of that to come help with the east-west, of course, because of the timeliness and the urgency to get that up and going. So, yes, you can't have anyone in the airfield when there's lightning in the area, no matter what you're doing. So that certainly was not helpful for our efforts, but we'll continue to regularly update with Ken and myself and try to keep people as apprised as we can. I mentioned in press conference, some folks have mentioned, well, why don't you just stop the repairs on north south runway? As you can imagine, it's not as easy as that. If it was, we would do it. There's going to have to be some work and some things done. If we were to get to a point where we thought this was going to be any longer term than what I would call day-to-day right now, of course, that's something we would entertain, the second that we see fit. But at the end of the day, we're double-timing it. We got our staff. We've got contracted staff out there, working in as fast as they can.
I mean, the analogy I would use is imagine you're doing renovations on a house in which, for whatever reason, you happen to have two kitchens. And one kitchen is, being totally revamped, and the other one you have a fire, and you can't use that kitchen. Well, you can't just reactivate the first kitchen all that easily. It's not that simple to do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You could with some time, but it's just not that simple to do. One question I do have, though, and I've heard this from a couple people, is they're kind of critical of the way this was handled in terms of the information flow, because we really got this very cryptic note on Monday that nobody understood what was going on. We kind of had to pry information out yesterday to figure out what was going on. By the press conference, things got a little bit better. But, this was a known as of Monday morning at 1 a.m. that the lights flickered and went off. And it seems like a better job could have been done, at least to tell people in a preliminary way, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. Here's what we're trying to do, so that travelers wouldn't be sort of caught by surprise Monday afternoon finding out that things got canceled that day. Your thoughts on the way information flowed on this?
Sure. Well, look, my background, I always have a high expectation of how we communicate or over-communicate. So certainly those concerns are understood. And as I said, I have a high expectation for myself and our administration always on that. Certainly we could have done that better. But also, just to put this in context, understand, let's use your kitchen analogy. If we think all we need is rich and it's a quick fix, we're probably not going to tell everybody at noon, we're thinking that it may or may not close, because remember, there's a lot of dominoes that happen. When you start to even mention the word might close or might cancel flights, it's a pretty sensitive, there's a lot of decisions that are made, a lot of consequences that are made when you speculate things as well. So that's not, I totally understand the frustration of folks. I totally get it. I've been in tough travel situations before. We all have, and it's very frustrating. I certainly sympathize with those folks, but understand, obviously, if we knew that this was something, at 1 a.m. Monday that was going to be multi-day, we would have, of course, announced that at the moment. So, that, unfortunately, that's the difficulty of the situation, is less what the actual repair is and the fact that there, it's electrical, so one thing turns on and the next one turns off. And, there's some procedure to this that makes it even more difficult when you're trying to administer it on a runway. So, that's, I would say, where our lapse in communication was, is, the hope is that we get this thing done, before. And actually, I just had a conversation with our airport right before I got on with you. And we had that exact conversation, is to say, we're going to be able to, we want to sequence information better today, whether that's, here's where we are, 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and, get that word out as soon as possible. So certainly something we can always do better.
Yeah, and I appreciated the explanation yesterday that, you know, it was kind of like, well, we thought it was going to be able to be done and we didn't want to panic everybody. And then as soon as we knew it wasn't going to be done Monday, that's when we let everybody know. And I you know, I get that there's a cost benefit to, you know, deciding when to release the information and do you panic people or concern people when you don't need to. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, one of the other big news items this week is we've got the second now grant for American Magic to work on the Warehouse 10. So, I know you talked about this extensively yesterday in your press conference, but there is now a legitimate possibility that we would have a America's Cup in Pensacola Bay if this team can win when they go to Barcelona. Is that right?
Absolutely. And my joke has been, you know, our chances of hosting America's Cup in Pensacola, Florida have gone from 1 in a trillion to 1 in 4, probably, you know, over the last week or so. And just a huge win for us across the board, 150-plus jobs and potentially growing around manufacturing, $105,000 average salary, which is the highest that Triumph has ever been had in front of them and approved. So very excited about that. The team loves being here. The leadership loves being here. And you know, remember, there's two important things to this as citizens. Number one, you know, between the 8.5 and the 3.9 from the governor, you know, that's $12.4 million. That's enough to fund, which is improvements to our building, you know, at the Port of Pensacola. And so, yes, it's to suit the tenant, but, you know, those dollars are not going to new sales. They're going to, you know, improve our warehouse, Warehouse 10. So that, you know, there's a double value there to us. And you know, I'm really, really excited about the future. And we don't get opportunities to say we're the best in the world, the best in the country at something very often. And that's, you know, with their presence here, we can legitimately say that. And certainly can say that if we were to host America's Cup. So, yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. And you know, we should all be on every Jumbotron at the stadium or whatever come fall 24. You know, we all have a very deep-rooting interest now in American Magic winning America's Cup.
No Absolutely. Question. And I very much appreciated what you said about how those jobs are relocating jobs. They're not new jobs, but there's tax base, there's spending, there's, you know, re-employment opportunities when they take on new people, and also the collateral benefits of developing the infrastructure. And I will say this, I think the biggest challenge that we would run into, it's a great blessing and a challenge, is that if we had, you know, if they win, if we move the America's Cup here, that the biggest challenge you're going to have is limiting access to the pedestrian walkways on Three Mile Bridge that will offer unbelievable views of this racing right. environment. That's probably going to be a good challenge. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy here with traffic on the fives.
Good news is I'm not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. It looks like 98 doing just fine, not showing any problems from the far all the way through. Via de Luna, another story, though, showing an accident at just the very beginning of Via de Luna right near the hotels. But it looks like that has been cleared up. Caution wherever you are, Balderas Avenue and Inner Rarity Point showing a vehicle crash. And they say use caution in the area, not showing a roadblock, though. Other than that, good to go. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, one thing I know it's a complicated topic. It's not a very TV or radio friendly topic, but the business with casks and flights and the amended ordinance change that you put into place, can you maybe just explain to people very briefly what the difference is now, how they're able to operate, and what was the concern that sent off this one sentence amendment?
Right. Yeah, I'll try to do that in one sentence. Ultimately, all the amendment did was the new classification of restaurant, which is that 25 to 150 seats that we had already voted on. That classification just has a little additional layer of clearance that they can't be within 500 feet of a residential zone or a school. So those are already kind of limitations that are tied to the liquor license, the 4CFP already. So just consider a little bit of a step one is to say, if we were going to have any unintended consequences of this new classification, that would help protect some of that a little bit. And that's something we could always unravel if we start to see that there isn't any issue. But we looked at the map of where these places could potentially go all over the city and right. felt comfortable. But we were trying to kind of offer that as an olive branch to the council with some of the folks that had some concerns. So that's all it really means is the amendment is just a little additional layer of any anxiety or concern that you know that this new classification would somehow you know, affect residential areas, schools, et cetera.
The political Diplo speak that people have been using more recently, in my opinion, is the, you know, I have a comfort level, and putting that sentence in maybe didn't change any practicals on the ground, but did bring a comfort level to the city council members who were concerned about that, which I appreciate. I did want to ask you before we get to the lightning round. You've been very involved in the school district and, you know, in working for the appointed superintendent as opposed to the elected. And you know, we've had a lot of conversation about this. As you well know, last night, the school board got chastised heavily by the state, and then they did approve the charter school USA for Warrenton Middle, and then they turned right around and 3-2 fired the superintendent, declined to extend his contract, however you want to say it. He left the room. I mean, it was in practice a firing. Your thoughts about this level of turmoil and you know, what's going on with the school board right now?
Yeah, you know, certainly I've got enough irons in the fire on our side and can't really speak to a lot of the specifics of that turmoil. But sure. I will say, you know, this is you know, not very unpredictable in terms of the desire of two school board members to oust the superintendent. That being said, as I said to that same board and as a advocate of the appointed superintendent format, that's what they were voted in to do, and doesn't mean I have to agree with it. It just means at the end of the day, the value of the appointed superintendent is that if you feel if the board is so moved to take action, they can do so. And then an elected, you couldn't. So I've told you, you know, I feel like the irony is, oh, well, because of this, we should go back to elected. Well, no, if this was the right move for the school board and they believe that that's the right move, that's why they're able to do it now, not 2 years from now. So this is why this mechanism should work. And now the school board has an opportunity to put who they believe the best person in the United States of America qualified for this job to come in and lead the school board in the right direction. So I don't necessarily agree with the move. And again, I believe very predictable given what the behavior we've seen over the last few months from a particular school board members. But, you know, we are where we are. And in that respect, I believe that this format gives us the opportunity to you know, do what we think is best for the kids of our county.
Yeah, this is the power that was created by the referendum, I mean, clearly. And I agree with you. I don't think it was done well. I think it should have been done through regular order, not as a sudden add-on. It should have been done at the next meeting, maybe in June or something like that. But this is literally the power that was granted to the school board. Let's hope they use it wisely going forward. The lightning round, we always like to end with this. All right, in your house, do you park your car in the garage or in the driveway?
Oh, driveway. You know, garage is just storage. You know that.
I don't know that. I use the garage for the car because that's, you know, my way. are you a front end to the house or front end to the street? Do you back in or pull in?
Pull in. Yeah, I'm a pull in. And just side note to that, if you, I have plenty of 2022 DC Racer Mare things in my garage if you have a street.
If I want to borrow some, I got you. Socks. Before pants or socks after pants?
After. Yeah, that's 100%. Yeah.
Civilized man. I appreciate
that.
Now,
I may go sock shoe. You know.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's a little unorthodox, but it does save on the, you know, the foot of orientation, I will put it that way. So I understand that as a process, man. And then the last one, when you're eating an apple, do you bite on the North Pole, the equator, or the South Pole first?
Always equator. Yeah. I go, okay. Yeah. All the way around.
All the
yeah.
way. Oh, so you bisect it first and then you work on the upper northern and southern hemispheres.
Exactly. That's the best part. You got to start with the best.
DC Reeves, our mayor for the city of Pensacola, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
And kudos on the triumph win and the American Magic stuff. That really is big, great news. So thanks again for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're excited.
You bet. 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're working on a home repair project, you want to go to Pensacola Hardware. Listen, if you've not been, can I just dare you? I mean, I don't know what – just trust me. Like, I know you go to the regular hardware stores and maybe you haven't been, okay? Just go. Make it a trip. Make it a date. Whatever. It's 20 East Gregory Street. You can't miss it. It's the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. Go as a history lesson. And just look around. And trust me. You will not go one time. You will not go just the one time. Pensacola Harbor, they've got everything. They've got great advice. They are genuinely experts in all of the fields that you would want to have advice in. And there's a huge houseware section in the front if you're trying to do gifts. So it is an institution. It is a legacy. It is an amazing place for many, many reasons. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Got a junk car lying around. Call the best junk man in this town. Frank buys junk cars. Frank buys junk cars. Got a car that's killing your grass. We'll call the junk car king for some quick cash. Frank buys junk cars.
850-525-2035. Frank buys junk cars.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish is serving only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of delicious southern sides. Every Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday, featuring $5.99 lunch basket specials until 3 p.m. And get ready for Shrimp-tastic Thursday. They're serving fresh seafood daily at David's Catfish House. Visit them on Dogwood Drive in Milton or on New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As it stands now, Jean Girard is sitting on the pole, which is, of course, a statement of fact and in no way a comment on the driver's sexual orientation.
Senor Ricky Bobby, I do not think you're prepared to take me on. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. Candy, while dancing, is the
nanny dancing
queen of the day, has traffic on the fives.
All right, and again, I mentioned the back gate. The gates are open now, of course, for DOD, but at 9 o'clock is when the west gate opens to the public. So I just want to remind you that. Of course, have your ID ready. Balderas Avenue and in Rarity Point showing an accident. It says use caution. Now, I'm not showing a roadblock, but certainly if you know different, let us know. Crash on Via de Luna right as it starts, too, near Flounders. I'm not showing a roadblock there, but caution. W and Fairfield showing an accident, but not a roadblock. Pine Forest and 9 Mile showing an accident. It looks like that has been moved off to the side. And then this looks like Pompano Road and 95 and Highway 29. That's in Cantonment showing an accident. That roadway is clear. Now, that's all I'm showing right now. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now, David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There will be a hearing today to decide on the legal status of abortion pill mifepristone. A 3-judge panel from the Fifth Circuit of Appeals is poised to decide the legal status of that. At least 3 more busloads of asylum seekers arriving in New York City today. This is officials are considering putting them in school gyms there. And President Biden canceling his visits to Australia and Asia because of the ongoing debt ceiling talks.
All right, David, thanks for the update. 7:58, News Radio 92.3. Goodness, with all of the news from yesterday about the school board and the superintendent and the state meeting and all of that stuff, there's so much stuff that we just have not even remotely had a chance to get to. Like this, did you see that the judge officially dismissed the charges against Andrew Gillum?
No.
Yeah, and it's all. Remember, he had had a hung jury on several of the charges and then an acquittal on one of them, and basically the prosecutor came in and said, yeah, we can't make this case, and the judge said, you're right, you can't, so it's all over. Now, that doesn't mean that Andrew Gillum is cleared of, like, all the things he ever did wrong. There's still all the old, the hotel room stuff that's, you know, that's real. But this was just a botched case from the beginning, or so it looks to me from reading about it from the outside. And it's a good reminder that you should want justice to be done, and you should want, you know, like the investigation of the people that you dislike politically to be done fairly. We have seen some of the opposite way things get done in America, and not well recently, right? With the Durham report, the FBI, President Trump. So, you know, I would say celebrate the outcome, so to speak, but be pretty critical of the process that got us to this particular point against Andrew Gillum. And then yesterday, the AI, the Senator Blumenthal actually used AI to introduce the meeting. We'll talk about that later.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.